be the change that you want to see in the world from Gandhi, which is really just speaks to living, walking the talk and living your life in alignment with what you value.
Welcome to the Daily Authors Podcast, a daily podcast all about books and the authors who gave them life. Each episode, your host interviews a new brilliant author as they reveal inside information about their incredible books and inspiring lives. Now, here's your host, Aaron Gendel.
Hey there, Aaron Gendel here. I just want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for listening to the Daily Authors Podcast. You know, it means so much to me, so thank you so, so much. Now, if you're an author or podcaster like me, then you know how important but challenging it can be to get reviews and promote our books and shows. And because of this, I've developed a platform called Review Karma to solve this exact problem. So check it out. You can get all the details and sign up for a free trial at getreviewkarma.com. Now, enjoy the show. All right. Thank you so much, Lisa Baker, for joining me on the Daily Authors Podcast. So excited today to talk to you about your book, Flip Your Kitchen, How to Cook 21 Meals a Week from Scratch Without Spending Your Life in the Kitchen. Thanks again, Lisa, for joining me on the show.
Thanks for having me.
Awesome. Well, before we dive into your book, if you wouldn't mind just letting us in on your life, Lisa, and tell us a little bit more about yourself, your work, and what you've got going on right now.
Sure. I am an integrative nutrition health coach, which means that I deal not only with the food that we put in our mouths, but everything else that nourishes us or doesn't. But I come to health coaching from the culinary world. So I used to be a chef and a caterer, private chef.
Well, let's dive into your book and wondered if you might share a bit about what inspired you to write it. And just give us that high level overview of the book.
Absolutely. As I said, I came to this from the culinary world, and because so many people were coming to me to learn how to cook from scratch, learn how to do just some really basic things in the kitchen, I had a whole bunch of recipes and classes that I was teaching, and people kept asking me, like, when's the cookbook coming? Uh-huh. And so I finally caved, and I did it, and I joke that it's my third child. It's like 18 years of gestation and 2 years of labor, you know? So this book really encapsulates what I learned in culinary school, and it's repackaged for the home cook. So you'll learn some really interesting things in it, little tips and tricks that a lot of cookbooks don't get into because they're all about the recipes. And this book really focuses on how and why to get back into the kitchen cooking from scratch. And I know that we're recording this during the coronavirus pandemic, so it's going to be an interesting world out there. I think people are going to be rethinking where they get their food, how they cook it, who's cooking it. So it's an interesting time for us in the food world.
Yes, for sure.
So well, I basically wrote the book because people were asking me about it, and also because I felt like I needed to have a resource, a tool for my clients who do want to learn how to cook. So it sort of put a big bow on everything I'd done up to the point where I started doing more holistic health coaching.
Yeah, wonderful. As we were talking before we started recording, I have four kids, so it's definitely an area where we're trying to figure this out week to week and want to cook good things for our family and things that maybe don't cause as many headaches for cleaning up and also just that are able to cook quickly. I don't know if your book touches on any of those areas. But I'd be just interesting to hear what you have to say about these 21 meals, I guess, and why you put them together the way you did.
Absolutely. Yeah. A big part of the book is talking about how to meal plan. And a lot of times when people think about meal planning, they think, oh, I have to sit down and make this grid and figure out the grocery list and really look at, you know, what am I making on Monday night? What do I need to buy for Monday night? And what I'm trying to do with Flip Your Kitchen is literally ask you to flip your thinking about it. And really stock your kitchen with whole foods, really close to the nature foods that are there. And then you can look at them and think, oh, this is what I can make today. So it's sort of reversing the process, really, not looking for a recipe and then finding the ingredients, but rather looking at the ingredients and thinking of a recipe that's related to them. So part of what I do in my book is really encourage people to play around with it, to really make the recipes their own once they've made them a few times. And my husband always jokes that I have a big marketing issue because my book is, it's a book of recipes that are encouraging people to not use recipes anymore. So really that's my goal. That's where the title came from. I want you to reframe your thinking instead of finding a recipe. What am I going to make tonight? I've found a recipe. Oh, shoot, I don't have this ingredient. I have to go to the store. Or, oh, shoot, I can't make this. rather learning what you can substitute for other items and figuring out what you can make from what you have rather than what you need to buy at the store.
So yeah, you're focusing on getting good ingredients basically that are maybe more locally sourced or that are healthier for you.
Yeah.
And then trying to make good meals from those. Is that right?
Yeah. So what I talk about a lot in the introduction to the book is soul food, S-O-L-E. And what that stands for is seasonal, organic, local, and ethical. Ah. And that's sort of next level thinking, especially the ethical part. But I find that a lot of people are somewhere on the processed food spectrum and not really close to the whole foods, right, the whole ingredients. So for me, the first step is always how close can we get you to cooking completely from scratch? And then after that, we can talk about, you know, are you eating seasonally, organically, locally, ethically? Meaning, are the people who brought you your food, everyone who touched your food along the way, are they also able to feed their families based on the work that they're doing to get your food to you? Yeah. So I like to talk mostly about, like, let's just get you back in the kitchen and cooking from scratch. I'd rather have you eat conventional broccoli than not eat broccoli because it's not organic.
Right. Yeah, it's a good first step, right? Just eating the right foods. And then I know we try to focus on getting as much organic, and then sometimes, you know, where if it's local, like going to a farmer's market or something like that.
Yeah.
But yeah, definitely trying to get in that direction as well. I'm wondering then with the recipes, or when you talk about the 21 meals, then what do you actually have in there for? Are they focused around these types of whole food ingredients? Is that?
Yeah, all of the recipes are pretty much whole foods. I do occasionally use a can of tomatoes. Okay. Because where I live in Michigan, tomatoes are out of season about 10 months of the year. You know? We used to live in California and it was great because we had fresh tomatoes 10 months out of the year. Yeah. But really what I'm looking for is stuff that you would find around the periphery of the grocery store. So produce, fruits, vegetables, dried beans, meat, dairy, you know, if you eat meat and drink dairy.
Yeah.
But really trying to stay out of the center aisles where everything is really highly processed and packaged.
Yeah.
So the recipes definitely focus on that. I don't have a lot of recipes that have a lot of exotic ingredients. I'm not really into the so-called superfoods, except the ones that we can find all around us, like broccoli and blueberries and things like that.
Yeah.
So I want people to be able to purchase these ingredients at the store that they regularly shop at. And really, when I talk about cooking 21 meals a week, what I'm talking about, being a little intentional when you're cooking, because again, we tend to, you know, we pick up our kids from school and the first question is, hey, what's for dinner? And the first thing you want to say is, whatever you're making. But you're not in the position to do that with smaller kids. But, you know, I can do that now. But what I really like to encourage people to do is every time you're in the kitchen, think about what you can be doing ahead of time. So whether you can spend an hour on the weekend just chopping vegetables for what you're going to make this week, or, you know, if you can spend that hour chopping vegetables, is there some kind of a sauce or some other basic staple that you can make at the same time? So I have a recipe for a marinara sauce, which takes probably all of 5-10 minutes to get started, and then you just cook it for 20 minutes. So if you can think about those 10 minutes doing prep, and then while it cooks for 20 minutes, you can still be chopping vegetables. So really organizing your time more efficiently. The other thing I love is this concept of intentional leftovers, which some people call planovers, which I think is a cool word. But you can think about, for example, if you're making roast chicken and brown rice and green beans tonight, what can you do if you make two chickens? So your oven is pretty big, and if you're putting one chicken in, you might as well put in two, because then later in the week you have roasted chicken that you can make chicken salad, you can make nachos, you can make chicken soup, you could make a casserole, and you're not having to start from, oh my God, I need to roast a chicken again. And you know, brown rice can certainly become part of a casserole. It can go in a soup. It can become a breakfast cereal. Green beans or broccoli, whatever vegetable you're making, you can certainly cook double of what you need and then put that in something else like a pasta salad or make it into a soup or put into a casserole again.
Wonderful. Love those tips. Those are great.
Yeah. So my big thing is always, always, always cook for more than one meal. No matter what you're doing, think ahead. Oh, if I make double what I need, what can I do with it?
Yeah, that's great. That's great. Do you have any tips in your book around those that maybe haven't done a lot of cooking, or is it, I guess, what level of stage of being a cook do you have to be to get use out of your book, I guess?
Oh, I am looking for rank beginners. really, people who have perhaps never set foot in the kitchen before, those are the people I'm looking for. Sometimes it's easier to start with a blank slate than try to break bad habits. But yeah, the information in the book really is as basic as, you know, if you're setting up your pantry, here's what's in my pantry. You know, take what feels right for you, what sounds good for you, and put some of these things in your pantry. It doesn't have to be identical to mine, but here's what mine looks like. I also have a glossary with all kinds of words in it. Like, what's the difference between simmer and boil? What's, you know, why do we cook some kinds of meat on a grill really fast and others have to cook for a long time really slow? And also really pushing people to experiment, because my thinking is, you know, if you know some basic techniques, such as how to braise something, you can then braise anything. You can braise vegetables, you can braise meat, you can braise poultry. And so I talk about, you know, why are certain cuts of meat better for stews and others are better for the grill, things like that.
Wonderful, wonderful. If you could just sum it up for the listeners today, and just if you could boil it down to one thing that the readers and listeners could take away from your book, what would you say that would be, Lisa?
Always, always, always cook for more than one meal. Anytime you set foot in the kitchen, you should be thinking about what you can do that will help you later in the week.
Wonderful. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for sharing all about your book. I'm sure there's so many more great nuggets for the listeners and readers if they were to get it. So I definitely encourage you all to get it at Flip Your Kitchen. And then just talking a little bit more about you, Lisa, I wondered if you might share a bit more about your influences, and just curious to know a little bit more about the authors on my show and what's helped them become who they are today. And if you could, if there are any events or people that in your life that you feel have shaped you, would you mind sharing with us those today?
Sure. I would say the primary sources of my cooking ability really are my mother and my grandmother. I grew up with a mother who is not from America. So as my friend's parents were really embracing processed foods and, you know, boxed macaroni and cheese and stuff, that was just totally alien to her. And my grandmother lived with us. She was also not from this country. So I was really, really privileged to grow up in a household like that. And I recognized that much later. You know, I wanted the boxed macaroni and cheese. but later, seeing how few of my kids' friends actually have parents who know how to cook from scratch was really... And in terms of others, let's see, authors who have influenced me, I would definitely have to give a big shout out to Michael Pollan, Omnivore's Dilemma. And also Food Rules and his book Cooked. I love Barbara Kingsolver's writings. She's my favorite author of all time because she writes just as beautifully in the fiction genre as she does in the food genre. I sort of think of her as a modern day MFK Fisher. Her book Animal Vegetable Miracle is probably one of the ones that had the biggest effect on me as I was changing my family's way of eating over to more whole soul foods. So I would say those two, definitely.
Wonderful. Thank you for sharing those. I'll have to take a look at those myself.
Yes, definitely. They're great reads.
All right. Well, what about an inspiring quote? Anything that, I guess, inspires you often, Lisa?
Wow. What inspires me? Where to begin? I think probably I will have to revert to one that's a favorite for a lot of people, which is really be the change that you want to see in the world from Gandhi, which
love
is really just speaks to, you know, living, walking the talk and living your life in alignment with what you value.
Yeah, wonderful quote. Thank you for sharing it. Can't hear that one enough. All right. Well,
I know. I keep coming back to it.
You know, you mentioned a bit about the book writing process before, Lisa. I wondered if you might talk a little bit more about it. And you mentioned a 2-year journey and obviously much more experience that went into it. Would you mind just sharing a little bit more about your experience, what maybe have helped you along the way, and any inspiration you could provide for those aspiring authors?
For aspiring authors, yes. I think first and foremost was that at some point you just need to say it's done. I worked with a wonderful an author's coach really named Chad Allen, and he was super helpful to me because when I met with him, he said to me, you know, you keep telling me that this book is so important and it's your top priority, and yet it keeps sliding off the bottom of your list. Like every time something else comes up, your book is not there. So especially for those authors who are not making a living writing, really to prioritize the time that you put in on your book as if you were prioritizing your work, setting a time for writing every day. and making sure that it's getting done, because I think we all, a lot of us, if not all of us, have a book inside of us. Yeah. Not everyone is inspired to actually create one. The other thing I would say is that my experience in writing my book was incredible. And for me, creating this book was a real lesson in tuning into the universe, tuning into flow, because every time I would reach a different stage of the process, the universe would just deliver. You know, I would start thinking, oh, okay, I need to find someone to help me make this into a real book now that I have most of the manuscript. And, you know, this writing coach showed up. And then I thought, okay, I'm at the point where I need to think about pictures. And a photographer just landed in my life through a really weird sequence of events. And he said, oh, I've never done a cookbook and I've always wanted to. So it was just this great opportunity where, you know, I got a professional photographer who did his own food styling and was interested in making it an amazing project because it would be a marketing tool for him as well when it was done. And when I needed a layout person, a design person, a woman who was in my cooking class on the way out the door said, oh, you mentioned that you were looking for a designer. My husband's a designer. And so every stage of the process wow. was just boom, boom, boom. And, you know,
that's wonderful. Well, thank you for sharing those experiences. It sounds like you, I guess the stars aligned for you. You were on the right path. You had that right flow going and those good things kept coming your way. So that's great.
Yep. Got to be open to it.
All right. Well, I just wanted to say thank you again for being on the show, Liza. I wanted to make sure that if there was anything else that you'd like to share, please feel free and definitely make sure the listeners know where to connect with you online.
Great. No, I have nothing more to say. I think we've covered it all. To connect with me online, you can go to simplyhealthcoaching.com. And if you're looking for the book in particular, there's a shop tab on my website. There are several different versions of it. I'm in the process of converting to an ebook. At this point, I have a downloadable PDF, and I still have 4 copies left of the hardcover, so the actual book. So that's what's going on in my shop, and you can find me as simplyhealthcoaching.com, and I blog there weekly about much more holistic health topics, but occasionally wander back into food because that's such an important thing. Most recently talking about, you know, what should you have on hand? What should we be using and eating to build up our immunity during this time of crisis?
Yeah.
So, yeah, join me there.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, I definitely encourage the listeners to do that. And again, pick up Liza's book, Flip Your Kitchen. And thank you so much again for joining me on the show. Liza, it's been a pleasure having you.
Thanks, Aaron.
Thanks for listening to the Daily Authors Podcast. Be sure to visit dailyauthors.com to join the conversation, access the show notes, and discover our fantastic bonus content.